Well, my message is really for indigenous peoples to use the gains that they have achieved in getting the indigenous people's rights recognized both globally as well as at the national level, also within the UN system, to use these gains very effectively and strengthen themselves, further empower themselves to have the agency to demand for the effective implementation of this declaration. Because unless indigenous peoples themselves feel empowered and they are asserting the right to participate, they are asserting their right to be able to have their rights to their lands and territories respected and not to be subjects of violence and state actions that are also leading to violence. And then for the states, my message is for them to realize that if they respect the rights of indigenous peoples, they will have better chances of really implementing relevant national development program. They will have better chances of saving the environment in their own countries because indigenous peoples are the ones who have shown in practice that it's in their territories where forests are better kept, where biodiversity is still, high. I would like to also express to the states that they should not fear implementing the rights of indigenous peoples because at the end of the day, it is better for the dominant society and for the world as a whole.
Do you feel things have improved? Do you feel that the rights of indigenous peoples has improved for the better?
I think in terms of inclusion of indigenous peoples in participating in the various bodies, that is good. And of course, indigenous peoples managed to use the UN Declaration to push the states as well as the UN bodies to develop laws and policies. But I think the big stumbling block as of now is still the effective implementation of the laws that have been developed or the policies that have been, formulated by the different UN bodies. There is still a large gap between what is said in paper and how the lives of indigenous peoples are changing for the better on the ground. And as a special rapporteur, because I go and visit many communities, I speak with people on the ground, and there is a lot of problems that they face in terms of how their rights to their lands are being respected or not, as well as the right to participate. And also in terms of budgets allocated for indigenous peoples to be able to enjoy their rights in a better way.
Is it different for women?
There has been a growing indigenous women's movements in various countries and even at the global level. So I think the visibility of indigenous women has increased considerably, in terms of them being able to participate as well. They are challenging also existing indigenous structures, which are very patriarchal, for instance, and now they are getting themselves better heard. So I think there have been some improvements in that sense, but I still see a lot of experiences of, say, violence against indigenous women. We still hear about the missing and murdered First Nations women in Canada. And there are still many laws or many policies that still discriminate against indigenous women. But internationally, for instance, the Commission on the Status of Women has now finally agreed that they will have an agenda item on the next session in this coming month on indigenous women's empowerment. No? So maybe those are the kinds of improvements because at least the main bodies, multilateral bodies like the Commission on Status of Women, is now including indigenous women in their deliberation. So in that way, there are some changes, but again, there's still a lot of problems that indigenous women face at the national level as well as even at the global level.
Speaking about having the agency to stand up and speak for your rights, this has happened in the U.S. when people have spoken out against the Dakota Pipeline because of the impact it would have on indigenous communities. This recent decision to move forward with this project, could it be a setback for people?
I still have to see a copy of the executive order, so I cannot really say that it's there. But if that is indeed a decision, then of course it's a setback for indigenous peoples. And I'd like to say that, in fact, I was invited by the United States to visit, to do an official visit to the U.S., and I'll be doing it next month. So this is one of the areas that I would like to look more deeply into so that I can come up with some constructive recommendations that I can present to both the United States government as well as to the the indigenous peoples in this country. You know, it's very unfortunate if that decision is indeed made. That is really going to be a setback, because the indigenous peoples have stood up very strongly to say that that pipeline cannot pass through their territory. And I made a statement officially already about that. So I will be looking more deeply into that as I will conduct my visit next month.
You helped draft the UN Declaration. Do you still stand by it? Do you still feel that it reflects the realities of today?
I still stand by it. When the declaration has been adopted, I was chair of the United Nations Permanent Forum at that time, and I was given the privilege to speak before the General Assembly. And I said that this declaration is a result of all the complaints, the tears, the cries that indigenous peoples brought to the attention of the member states of the United Nations. And it still remains so. All the articles in the declaration are responses to the problems brought by indigenous peoples to the attention of the international community. And if those articles are going to be implemented, then of course it will address directly the issues that indigenous peoples brought to the attention of the UN, and which resulted in this UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So I think that the implementation of this declaration is still a major achievement, and it should be implemented so that these historical and continuing problems will be solved once and for all. And it can only be done in partnership with the states, the civil society in general, the indigenous peoples, as well as the private sector. So I think that it has to really be socialized with all these different actors, and the pressure that they should implement it should increase considerably, so that finally the kind of changes that will result, the well-being, the dignity, and the survival of indigenous peoples will really happen.